basically everything the financial advisors teach, everything is broken. It does not work. I've proven it by the numbers. You can never save enough in those plans to truly become financially free. You can live cheap and you can hope that you have Social Security, but that's pretty much it.
This is the naked truth about real estate investing. Your host, Javier, has already been through all the brain damage of this business, so you don't have to go through it. That way, you're not exposed to all of the risk of losing your shirt or getting caught with your pants down. So let's dive into another No BS episode right now.
Hey, everybody. Javier Hinojo. Welcome again to another episode. I am your host, The Naked Truth About Real Estate Investing. Not just investing in real estate, but just investing in general. You know, real estate has to do with finances. So I'm super excited to have Chris Miles Money Show. He has a podcast. He's a Collective Genius member. I met him at a mastermind. So I'm super excited. He's your anti-financial advisor. I love that. I'm anti pretty much a lot of stuff that's establishment. Just like we were talking right before the interview, you got to teach people how to think, not what to think. So I try to do that with my kids. So you're not just a machine, you know, you're just like a production line. I'm really excited. He's going to share some few tips just about how to make your money work for you. And, you know, he doesn't actively do real estate, but he does passive. So he's a passive investor. So maybe we get him to talk a little bit about that, what he looks for. And as far as somebody to invest in or a project to invest his hard-earned money. So Chris, I'll let you go ahead and say just a little bit about yourself so I don't butcher it since my voice is not 100% there. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Javier. I appreciate being here. Yeah. So, I mean, kind of gave my professional intro a little bit about my background. Like I actually grew up in Oregon, out near Portland, back when it was actually cool. Not now. Portland sucks now, right? But back in the day. And then 22 years ago, I actually moved out to Utah. And that's where I met my wife, now ex-wife, and had a bunch of kids. I actually have 6 kids of my own. And then I got remarried and her 2 kids. Now we have this blended family of 8 kids between the two of us. So it's like this Brady Bunch.
8 kids. So I have 5 kids. Uh-huh. After like the 3rd kid, it didn't matter. Like I have 5, 7. I leave the restaurant. I got a handful. I'm good. You know,
it's so like a chain gang, right? At that point, right? You just chain them up together and make them, you know, work on the railroad and things like that.
For sure. So you have 8 kids, blended family.
Yeah. It can be crazy. Every other weekend, it's a madhouse here, or every Thursday night. So, you know, just give it a few hours and, you know, then you would have heard tons of noise in the background.
Utah, got married, got remarried, got a blended family.
Yep.
And then what happened from there?
Yes. So, you know, when I was going to college and my plan was to actually go into business consulting, right? I mean, I was actually a sociology major with this triple minor in psychology, Japanese, and ballroom dancing, right?
What? That is a great combination. I love it.
So yeah, little known fact, I was one of the nation's top amateur ballroom dancers. You know, Latin dancing was my favorite. You know, that was always my number one strength. But, you know, that was 20 years ago and about 30 pounds ago, right?
Oh, look at that. I'm an awesome dancer. I did my first TikTok video dancing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. This came out.
I haven't done TikTok, so yeah, I haven't done the dancing thing.
Go make fun of me. Sorry. I interrupted. Continue, Chris.
So yeah. So anyways, I was on that college path, right? Because that's what my dad wanted me to do. He wanted me to be the first one to go to college in our family and stuff. But you know, I still want to control my own destiny, my own time, my money, my freedom. So I figured if I'm going to be a business consultant, shouldn't I have real life business experience, right? Like if I'm going to come from that place. So I dropped out of college to go just do a 1-year sabbatical. I was like, I'll go try to start some business. I don't know what it is, but I'll try to start something. Well, the first thing that came up a few months later was a financial advisor position, right? And I didn't know at the time that they hire anybody that has a heartbeat and can pass a test, right? And so I was like interviewing like crazy because there was something that seemed cool about learning about money, right? Well, I ended up going down that path, commission only type of financial advisor. And I actually loved it. Like I love learning about money. I love, you know, just being in control, you know? So, and I was side hustling that for a few years, right? But, you know, eventually went and did that more full time. And about 4 years in, see, I'm a guy that likes evidence, right? I don't like to see things that are just based on theory. I like to know that they actually work and produce results. And I noticed after 4 years, like I inherited clients that had decades of help from financial advisors. They weren't financially free, you know? In fact, in many cases, remember, I got in during like Y2K. So right after 9/11 is when I got into the stock market and all that kind of stuff, selling the traditional mutual fund crap that you see people selling, you know? And they're like, oh, that advisor, I hope they're in jail. I'm like, dang, that sucks. No, I don't know if they're in jail. I just know they're not in the business anymore. Maybe they died. I don't know. I just know I inherited you as a client. And they're like, well, anyways, I hated it. Horrible advice, you know, because they were making all this money in the 90s and then boom, Y2K hit and then they're pissed off, right? naturally, when things go well, people take all the credit. But when things go wrong, they blame the financial advisor, right?
For sure.
And financial advisors just take the credit for the same things too. And they have, neither of them have any kind of control of their life. So anyways, I noticed that people weren't free. And so end of 2005, I had a guy that I trained in the business that left to go do real estate investing with his dad. They partnered up on some deals. They were doing more flipping type stuff, right? And so I thought I'd call him, wish him Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and see if he wants to beg for work again. Because I thought for sure, like, oh, he's probably failing this real estate thing. Boy, was I wrong. Because I call him up and I say, hey, how are things going? He's like, man, that's awesome. Like my dad and I, like he's actually doubled his income from being a professor at the local university. I was like, he just started 4 months ago. How did you double his income? Like, I know what kind of income he makes. No way. He's like, I'm serious, man. It works. And so I called bull on him a little bit, right? I was like, that's too good to be true, you know, which we hear all the time in the real estate world, right? And so we went back and forth about what's better, stocks or real estate? Stocks or real estate, right? And finally, he stopped me. He said, Chris, how many of your clients are actually financially free where they don't worry about money? I thought about it. I said, none of them, not even the retired ones, because they still watch CNN and worry about money, right? Yep. He's like, all right, Chris, how about this? How many of you guys as financial advisors are free? Because if anybody's got this figured out, it should be you guys, right? So how many of you guys are free, not off the commissions you're earning from selling this crap, but actually doing these mutual fund investments? How many of you guys are actually financially free off these mutual funds? I thought about it. And I said, none. Maybe one guy in our offices. And I found out later he wasn't either. He was just all show, right? And so he said, well, there's your problem. I said, well, tell me the answer. He's like, I'm not going to tell you the answer because you're not open to it. I said, well, Dad, you just got me to admit I'm wrong. So give me something. He's like, listen, if you're really serious about it, which I doubt, you know, notice he was like doing an awesome takeaway on the sales job, sure, right?
Yeah.
He wasn't even selling anything. He was just pissed. You know, he's like, well, if you're really serious, go get this book called Who Took My Money by Robert Kiyosaki, which basically says that mutual funds are horrible, right? I just saved you 3 hours on audiobook there. Mutual funds suck, and here's why. And then he said, now listen to this radio show, an AM talk show. This is pre-podcast. Listen to this AM radio show by these couple of real estate investors. And so I did. I started listening to that stuff. And funny enough, they didn't even talk about strategy. They didn't even talk about what kind of real estate they did. They barely even mentioned real estate. They were talking about like founding fathers. They were talking about like money beliefs and scarcity and abundance and all this kind of stuff, all these principles more. And I was hooked. And so after a few years, and especially when they started talking about like the traditional mindset and financial advisor, what they taught, I was like, wait, that's me. I'm the guy teaching this crap. So I got to get out of this. So March of 06, I quit, vowed never to teach about money again. I was like, I'm just going to be a mortgage broker and teach ballroom dancing at the local university on the side, right? And so that's what I did. But it drove me nuts. They knew things I didn't know, right? Because I'm like 28 years old. I'm like starving for this information. So I started to get to know them a little bit more. And the crazy thing is, and not just with real estate, even like within business streams, like they taught business principles too. Like I was able to do things like really working like 3-4 hours a week. And I was able to essentially become financially independent. Now at that time, I only needed like $3,500 a month. It wasn't hard to hit that number, but it blew my mind. I could just work a few hours a week and make $3,500 a month. You know, where before I was working like overtime hours as a financial advisor just to try to make it paycheck to paycheck, right? And it blew my mind that it wasn't about how much money you save. It wasn't about, you know, trying to live off less than the interest like they teach you. It was all about cash flow. And it just blew my world wide open, like just amazed, you know. And I did, you know, some real estate investing stuff, some active that went well and some that didn't go well, especially when the recession hit, right? And so yeah. I went from financially independent and semi-retired to, you know, now back in the rat race again in 2008, you know. But about 2007, I started teaching people how to get out of the rat race until that time happened. Then I switched it. I was like, okay, I can't be out of integrity and teach anything I don't do. So I switched it. I said, I'm going to teach people how to be resourceful, how to find money, because that's what I was doing, right? I was like, I'm not going to go bankrupt. I'm too dang stubborn. No way is that going to happen. But I'm going to find a way to make this work. Even though I was in the hole $15,000-$16,000 a month, I was going to reverse it. And so it was a long, hard road. You know, long story short, by end of 2016, I was financially independent again, now making over 5 figures a month passively because now I've got 8 kids, right? So definitely a bigger number to hit, but I got there. And that's what I've been teaching people to do is that basically everything the financial advisors teach, everything is broken. It does not work. I've proven it by the numbers. You can never save enough in those plans to truly become financially free. You can live cheap and you can hope that you have Social Security, but that's pretty much it. That's your retirement plan if you're lucky in the traditional world. You've got to go into these alternative investments instead.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about that, right? So
yeah.
this is tends to be real estate investing. So what kind of passive investing you recommend or some of your clients or yourself do as far as like real estate related?
Yeah, I don't think there's a one size fits all. I've noticed that with people, like if I try to push my own, you know, my own biases, you know, like it's not their plan, right? It's got to be something that fits with them and what they want to do, you know? So typically it's going to be anything ranging from like, it could be turnkey rentals. That's my personal favorite, right? I love doing turnkey rentals, even if it's like duplexes and fourplexes, you know, I love having that control. I love the tax benefits that you get. I mean, what other place can you actually show a loss? You know, it's just like if you do syndications or apartments and things like that, you know, like real estate's just awesome, right? So that kind of thing's great. A lot of my clients might want to do syndications or funds, you know, because they don't want to be involved in the process as much. You know, we got people that, you know, like note type of investments. We've got self-storage. There's assisted living you can be doing, right? Again, more syndication or fund-based. I've had people even look into oil and gas, you know, looking at doing something like that. I have one client in Hawaii. He's like, I do not want to do anything with real estate, not even as a syndication, not even hands off. I want nothing to do with it. So I'm like, well, what would you like to do? He's like, well, I actually bought a few oil wells recently. I'm like, you bought individual oil wells? Dude, that's crazy. He's like, here's an oil syndication. It's got 40 wells in there. That's way safer than you just trying to buy two or three. And then, you know, maybe they go broke, you know, with those. So, because it's either, you know, boom or bust a lot of times.
Yeah,
or piddly.
High risk, high reward. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, here's a syndication. We'll go look this direction instead. Right. Again, I never tell people what to buy or what to invest in because that's illegal. Right. But I do say, hey, based on your goals, is it cash flow focused or more growth focused? All right. If it's growth, here's some options you might look at instead. If it's cash flow, look at here.
For sure.
One more recently, like one I'm getting into myself is I'm actually doing a partnership with some land deals. If you know, like Mark Podolsky, right? The land geek.
Yeah.
I'm actually partnering up on some deals with him, you know, hiring his team to do it for me, which I've asked him to do for years. And now he's finally got a way for us to do it. So
that's cool.
I'm partnering a deal with him, you know, because I can make way more cash flow on that than I could even doing my own rentals, you know? So there's all kinds of options, right? There's so many things you could be doing. It just depends on what's really the right fit for your goals, what you're trying to achieve, and what's really your preference. What do you actually enjoy doing, right?
So you're telling me everybody we all have a personality, right? So what's your investor or investment personality? And it's got to fit that, right? You got to feel pretty comfortable.
Exactly.
It's got to fit you. It can be a wide range, but as long as you're comfortable with it, it's not one size fits all.
That's right. I mean, when I send my clients over to talk to these different people, because I'm more of a strategist and a connector, right? And I help create the game plan. I connect them with people, but ultimately they pull the trigger. And it's interesting because, you know, they'll come back and I think something's a no-brainer. And they'll come back like, I just didn't feel good about it. But I like this one instead. I'm like, really? All right, cool. Well, that's good. You do your due diligence. You feel comfortable. All right, great. Let's figure out how much money you're going to be putting there and that kind of thing and creating that plan. And I'll tell you, that's something that's so much. And not just doing that, right? You know what's so much fun is finding the money too. Because you remember I mentioned I taught people how to get resourceful, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I had to find the money to pull out of my little, you know, tailspin that I was going into, right? I was crashing hard. And it's funny because like I have this one client, and a lot of my clients are like this, right? They're what I call asset rich and cash poor. You know, like their net worth might be, you know, they could even be a credit investor. They might be worth $1, $2, $3, $4, $5+ million, right? But then their cash flow, their passive income is almost like this, like zero. You know, it's funny because I have this one guy, same thing. His whole goal, he's living in California. And I always tell people like, you know, when he tells me, hey, I've got investment property here. I'm like, okay, if you're West Coast, you got investment property. Let me guess, your return on equity stinks, right? Because you got equity in there, but your cash flow is ridiculous. And that's exactly what happened. He's like, here's the two things I'm doing, Chris. Like my goal is pay off my investment property, you know, and my house here in San Diego. And I said, all right. He's like, yeah, I'm 6 years away. Well, how much will that free up? $4,500 a month. I'm like, well, that's great. Okay, cool. That's not bad. All right. Now, how much equity we have in this investment property?
Yeah.
$700,000.
Oh,
okay. What's your cash flow on it? Like net profit, $200 a month. I'm like, you got $700,000 of equity. You're making $200 a month. That's miserable. He's like, yeah, but once I get it paid off, well, then it'll be like $2,300 a month. I'm like, that still sucks for $700,000 of equity. Like that should be paying you at least a 10% cash on cash.
Yeah,
return.
8 to 12. Yeah. Easily.
Yeah. It's like, you should be looking out east. You should be like the Southeast. You should be like out towards the Carolinas or, you know, out towards like Alabama or, you know, or Tennessee or anything like Missouri. Like there's plenty of better places than that. And so I was like, okay, here's the deal. Sell it, you know, get rid of it, you know, get that cash out. You can go in 1031 exchange into some more properties, buy some fourplex or whatever, like in Oklahoma or something like that. And you'll be cash flowing at least $60,000 or $70,000 a year minimum, right? Even with these multifamilies. I was like, and you've got equity in your house too. He had like $400,000 or $500,000 of equity in his house. I'm like, dude, cash that out too. You know, now, you know, give you an update. Like he was totally scared. He's like that ultimate saver mentality, right? Like that hoarder mentality.
Yep.
He's all Dave Ramsey-fied, right? Which Dave Ramsey does not lead you to wealth. He leads you to getting past zero, but not to wealth. So I was like, here, like, okay, if even if you don't cash out refinance, because it freaks your wife out, right? At least refinance your house, free up $1,100 a month on your payment, get it to a 30-year. Don't try to pay off in six, get it to a 30-year, stretch it out, get some cash freed up, because that'll get you to your goal faster, right? And if, hey, bonus, cash out refinance up to what you're paying right now anyways, and now you can use that money to go and create another $15,000 to $20,000 a year, right? So I told him, I was like, listen, in year one, we should be able to make you at least $70,000 to $80,000 this year. By year five or six, by the time you're supposed to free up $4,500 a month, you'll be well over $100,000 a year. And so it's like teaching that acceleration mindset versus accumulation and scarcity saver mindset.
What's the biggest pushback, right? Is it fear or what do you think?
Oh,
or just
totally.
The way we've been programmed all our lives?
Exactly. We've been programmed because think about all the wise financial advice out there is all from the same people, right? It's all financial institutions. If you look at financial advisors, right, and the financial experts, they work for financial institutions. Now, they might claim they work for their clients, but they really don't because they're educated by these institutions. All these companies say, hey, put your money away, set it and forget it. You know, it's like their 401k money, which 401ks are ridiculous. If you're trying to retire before 60, it's a dumb move. It's again, it doesn't meet the objective. Even with a match, by the way, your 401k only gives you an extra 2 or 3% compounded return. That's it. And if the market only does 7 or 8%, you're lucky to make 9 or 10. But I can make way more than that in real estate. Heck, I can make 30%+ in my real estate on average, you know, just buying a turnkey rental, not even doing any kind of active investing, right? And so just try to switch that mentality and say, guys, just because everybody's doing one thing doesn't make it right. Because look at America today. Not everybody are spenders. Just so you know, a lot of people in America, I'd say at least half are savers. But Dave Ramsey's and people of the world will tell you, oh, everybody's a spender. You're the rare few. You actually save. You sacrifice. You suck your entire life away to just live in scarcity, right? That's not the case. A lot of people in my experience, and even if you see surveys out there, a lot of people are actually savers. So look at America. Are they better off today or not? Of course not. Are they actually financially free? No. They're begging and hoping for Social Security to help make the difference because mutual funds are enough. Do the math. Like, and I've done this. Like, you know, you do the math. Say you earn 7%. By the way, the market, the S&P 500, if you actually invest in the index, has only averaged about 8.3% over the last 30 years. That's before taxes and before fees, right? That's it. And that's, by the way, on the high range. It's usually between 7 and 8%. But because we're in this 12-year unprecedented uptrend, right? Which
Dang, yeah, the longest in history.
Yeah, exactly. It's the longest in history. So to see that happening, of course, it skews the numbers.
I don't know if it's the longest or one of the longest, but it's pretty good.
It's definitely one of the longest to see it up that much, that consecutively, right? See, I mean, there's the Great Depression, but even then, the Depression still had some down years as it went back up, you know? We haven't seen that. You know, we've only seen it go up since 2009, you know, and it just keeps going. So understand that if it's been averaging like 8%, even on the high end, right? 8%, you compound that into your numbers, it's not very good. And then we have to take taxes out and you got to live on, they say live on 4%, right? That's that whole 4% rule. That's an antiquated rule from decades ago. Even when I was a financial advisor, you know, when I quit over 15 years ago, still, we were saying that 4% rule was too aggressive. We should go like maybe 3. So think about it. You happen to be lucky enough to save up $1 million and do the math, find out what it takes, say in the next 20 years to get to $1 million, right? Oh, but throw in inflation. Inflation is not as high as the government promotes either. Even just put 4%. 4% is low, by the way, for real inflation rates. Put just 4%. So you're making 8, you're earning 4. You're really only netting 4%. Watch what happens. Like if you want to retire in 20 years with at least a $100,000 a year lifestyle, I just did the numbers on this, $12,000 a month you got to save.
Wow, that's
$12,000 a month to live on a $100,000 a year lifestyle today if you're going to do that in 20 years at a 4% inflation rate.
Yeah. And so, I mean, how do you do that, right? Like, how do you invest your money properly, not the traditional way, right? You're the anti-financial advisor, right? You don't want to be caught with your pants down, you know, 20 years from now and be like, oh, shoot, I did the 4% and I'm like so short. Now I got to go back and work at Walmart because I can't, especially that people are living longer as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's why the 4% rule doesn't work, because people are living longer. Interest rates are lower for people in retirement. Really, 2% would be conservative. I'm saying 3% to be just, you know, an optimist, right? And that's the thing, is like, figures don't lie, but liars figure, right? All these people out there are throwing out these hypothetical numbers, but the reality is people still aren't free. Even when I get people with $1 million, you live on 3%, that's $30,000 a year. That's poverty, guys. Like, that's below the poverty line. You are a broke millionaire. Think about it.
Yeah.
You know, where that same $1 million, even if I put into a, you know, like a fund or a syndication that's paying me a 10% return, right? That's $100,000 a year.
And you still have your initial capital. You're not even spending capital.
It's not the principal, right? Like, you're just living on the interest, right? You know, and that's the beautiful thing. Like, I just had a client from Washington State, you know, like, just retired from Boeing. He's like, okay, I've got $1 million for my retirement account that he's been max spending his 401k for years to try to get there finally, right? Now he's got a little bit of a pension coming too, you know, that little extra bonus pension. But it's like, man, that $1 million, he's like, I need at least $100,000, $120,000 a year. I'm like, great, earn 10% on this $1 million. He was like, yeah, but is that really possible? I'm like, go look. You're like, here's some properties. Take a look. You know, hey, here's a fund. You can do this too. Like, you know, he's now under contract to buy this fourplex. You know, he's like buying a fourplex, and then he's putting more money in like syndications and different types of deals that way. So then he's like, hey, I wanted to do rentals, but I'm just scared. Here, I'll just do more on the other side. It's like, great. As long as it cash flows, perfect. You know, get a good preferred return on those from those, you know, operators. And
again, right, it's all the personality, because you can go to a pretty hot market where maybe you might get like a 6% return on your money, but you might hit some appreciation, right? Or you can go to another a market that's not so hot, but you know, you might get 15% cash on cash, right? Just because the property is so cheap and the rental are so high, like say in the Midwest, et cetera, right? Just you can get some really good returns on some money on your rental. So there's really, you know, you can really, if you want to live off of cash flow, you can go either way, or half here, half there. And it all averages out to, you know, say even 10%. There's no reason why you cannot make 10% of your money doing real estate. I mean,
think it's too good to be true, right?
Especially, you know, if you find the right operators, you find the right property. I mean, all you got to do is run the numbers. I mean, you know, the numbers don't lie, right?
Yeah.
And they're all right there, right? You can look at the neighbor. You can look at the other commercial building. You can see what stuff sold for. So it's not like they're making up these numbers. They're all there. So that is pretty neat. So what would you say to somebody, you know, who is maybe even their 60s or, you know, 20s? I mean, what kind of advice do you have to somebody so they don't make like a huge mistake? Or just give me something, you know, for the younger crowd and for the older crowd.
Yeah. For the older crowd, the thing is, you've been indoctrinated so long into that traditional mindset to put your money away. And just remember, financial institutions want you to put your money there and leave it. And this is why they say live off less than the interest, right? They want you to make more interest than what you're pulling out, because they say, well, if inflation, you don't want to run out of money. Well, think about it. If your balance keeps going up and you're pulling out less, they're making more money. Think about the rule of high risk creates high returns. This is the thing I get all the time. I'm sure you do too. Like, I'm not a risky person. I look at people that invest in mutual funds as the riskiest gamblers in the world, right? Because it's ridiculous. You have zero control of your money. You have zero control of what those funds do or what the manager will even invest in. And just so you know, even a manager does good one year, it's very common for them to do bad the next, right? I mean, it's so common to see that happen. You have zero control. You have zero real tax benefits. I mean, yeah, you have a Roth IRA. I see a lot of the younger generation. This is the warning for them, right? Older generations, you just got to trust that there's more results here. If you look at people, the people that actually are wealthy and free have real estate in their portfolio. Even if they're a business owner, right? They still got real estate that's creating some sort of lifestyle. Even if they have mutual funds, that's not what made them wealthy. It's either their business or the real estate. Or in the case of a lot of your listeners, they're both the same, right? They have a business in real estate, you know? That's where they're making their real money, you know? But they don't have passive freedom from that. So understand that if you're more in the getting to the retirement years, know that your money is not about what kind of money you can pull off. It's about the cash flow. What's the income coming off of this? That blew my mind as a financial advisor. Now, for those of you like in your 20s, you've never seen a down market. You think that the stock market is amazing, right? Now, I know some of you guys are listening. You already know this is not truth, but you think the stock market is incredible, that it doesn't ever go down. This is the biggest thing I see with people in their up until about their 30s, right? They're like, oh, the market's awesome. I'm going to retire. I'm living on the 4% rule. There's that whole FIRE method out there, the financially independent retire early crowd. They actually believe you can just buy index Vanguard funds and be able to retire because you just live on that 4%. Well, what happens when the market goes down? Oh, it's okay because I got time. No, it's bull crap. Like what you see in the last 12 years, the average, by the way, in the last 12 years is about 15.5%, right? Understand the market's about half that. So what does it have to happen for our market to go back into balance? What's that going to do to your portfolio? My dad thought the same stupid thing right before Y2K. He invested in stocks and more stock funds because the tech stocks were going up. So he switched his portfolio over there on his 401k, thinking a few more years of this, I'll be able to retire in my late 50s. And then bam, Y2K happened. And he's like, it took him 15 more years to retire. Wow. 15 more years. Even though he's almost right there, it took another 15 years before he was back in that place again. And that's just because he's like, well, I'm probably going to die in the next few years anyways.
Well, you know, it's tough because if the market is somewhere, I mean, your money is in the market or somewhere where you don't really have control over it. Or even if you do have control over it, you can pick and choose where you want to place your money.
Yeah.
You don't have a financial advisor, right? Still, you know, you're not gambling, right? But it's just, I mean, it's kind of hard. I like to see it, touch it, feel it if I can. I mean, it just feels better for me.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, you can buy 10 grand worth of some kind of crypto and get lucky and it doubles, triples in a week. But I mean, that's really not investing. You know,
yeah, that's just speculation. It's gambling. Yeah. If you understand, real investors don't believe high risk creates high return. They know that's bull crap, right? Because the truth is that low risk creates high returns. Because think about it. When is a 90% chance of losing? The definition of risk is chance of loss. So when does a 90% chance of losing equal a 90% chance of winning?
Yeah.
It doesn't. 90% chance of losing means you have a 10% chance of winning.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we try to control, manipulate our risk, right? We try to minimize and mitigate it as low as possible. We want 95% success rate. We want like 5% risk, maybe, right? We want as little risk as possible where you can manipulate and control and amplify the returns. That's what real investors do. Gamblers believe that high risk creates high returns. And they were taught that by financial companies that said, hey, you take all the risk, while the financial companies just take the guaranteed fees off of you, right? Yeah. They don't believe in high risk creates high returns. That's why they just take the fees. They want you to take all the risk for them so they don't have to. And that's why they've got the bigger house than you do. That's why they got the tallest buildings in every city you look at. It's always the bank or a financial institution.
Yeah. So they make money if you make money or you don't make money. They still make their money.
Yeah. They always make money regardless.
You're like, yeah, for sure.
Once you see through all that crap and all the BS that's out there, you start to realize like, holy cow, like I've been duped. In fact, I have a better odds of doing the opposite. If I just do the opposite of everything financial advisors taught me, I will probably succeed. And that's true. Again, the evidence is financial advisors can't retire. And by the way, I knew financial advisors that were advisors since the late 70s and they still couldn't retire. What makes you think you're any different? Like, look, that's the thing. It's like, look at evidence. Don't go with this theoretical BS and you put in the calculator, because the truth is the calculator does not show reality.
Oh, that, man, that's some great, great nuggets. I really appreciate you being on the show. Where can people find you?
Yeah, you can do one of two things. One, you can find my show, my podcast, The Chris Miles Money Show. You can find that one on iTunes or any app that you have. Or you can go to moneyripples.com, you know, where you can actually reach out and contact us. There's even other blogs and even a book they have. If you try to find cash to be able to create more wealth with, I've got a little ebook on there called Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Create Cash Today. You can get there for free.
I like the title.
Yeah.
Sure. All these
kind of slapping somebody in the face there, metaphorically speaking.
There you go. Yeah, I know. I got the feeling. I know exactly what you mean. So, but like, I live in the South, so I hear it all the time.
That's right.
All your social media links and link to your podcast will be in the show notes for everybody in case they missed it.
Awesome.
But it's time for the show where I bring out a roulette. I call it the Naked Truth Roulette. And it'll just be four random questions, not business related, just to get to know you a little bit better and the audience will get to know you a little bit better. So I'm going to pull that up here in a few minutes. But before I do that, is there anything else you wanted to share?
Yeah, I'll just tell you, like, guys, if you're listening to the show right now, you're on the right path. Right? Because you're trying to do it different. Don't follow the masses, because the truth is that the masses haven't figured it out. They're not free. And I'll tell you, I've been financially independent twice, right? If I even thought it was accidental back in 2006 when I did it the first time, I had to do it again. It works. And I've had clients do it too. Like, there is so much more hope doing it different. And you can take less risk and get higher returns. Like, so trust me, what you're doing right now, if you're studying this stuff, you're in the right place at the right time.
Oh, that's awesome. That's some great advice. So everybody go follow Chris, go check out his podcast, and you get a lot of knowledge for sure. A lot of tips, and then you do whatever you want with it. Hopefully take it to heart and make some money, right?
That's right.
All right. So here we go. We got the Naked Truth Roulette. Can you see my screen?
I can. Yeah.
All right. Let's roll. Let's see what the first one is. I will give you one pass if you need it. Right.
Nice.
Let's see what we got.
Hopefully it applies. I hope it's like, what's your favorite dress?
Oh, there we go. We missed a good one. There was a good one too. Let's see. Oh man, this is your favorite curse word.
Favorite curse word would be damn.
All right. Okay. That's good. Oh, that's a good one. All right. We are allowed to curse on the podcast, so that's okay.
I try not to do it very often.
Oh, my wife just hits me in the back. She's all right. Do you have any tattoos?
I don't.
Oh, look at that. You put a wimp there.
I'm scared of them.
Yeah, scared of needles. Yeah, I don't have any tattoos. You know, I'm like, I thought about it for a long time. I'm like, yeah, I think yep. I don't know if I missed it. I'm in my early 40s, so I'm just, I don't know. Maybe someday, maybe not. I don't know.
Yep.
All right. Third question. All right. How do you feel about putting pineapple on pizza?
I love it. I know I'm weird, but I love it.
What else do you put on it besides pineapple? What would be the toppings with pineapple?
I'm a veggie pizza kind of guy. So I like basically a veggie pizza with like all the vegetables, mushrooms, olives, you know, like, heck, I'll even throw in like, you know, spinach and things like that. But yeah, I'll even throw pineapple on top of it too.
Just that's awesome. All right. I used to eat a lot of a pineapple and ham pizza.
Oh yeah.
I can't do it anymore. I think I ate too much.
Yeah, I actually worked at three pizza restaurants when I grew up. So
there you go. All right. Last question. See what we got. All right. What cartoon was your favorite as a kid?
Oh man, it have to be a tie. It was probably Voltron.
Voltron. Yeah, I remember that.
Voltron was probably one of my favorites. I mean, it was between that and Thundercats. So,
Thundercats, man. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Thundercats was amazing. You know, these kids, now you see all these shows now. Like, man, like I see my 10-year-old watch SpongeBob. I'm like, how do you watch SpongeBob? But then I turn it on and I can't stop watching it. I'm like, my brain is just dissolving in front of my ear right here. I just feel it. I feel my brain cells dying.
Yeah, my kids are all about Gravity Falls and stuff, you know.
Oh, here you go, for sure. Chris, I appreciate it. You survived the Naked Truth. It was not too rough of questions, and I appreciate that. Thank you for being on the show, and I appreciate your time. You're the anti-financial advisor. I love that. You know, don't do what the rest of the crowd does. You know, just go ahead and there's better ways of doing it. You know, even safer, not your traditional ways to investing that kind of you're taught at school or just big corporations push out. Right. So it keeps everybody on this kind of assembly line of just doing the same thing over and over and over again. And these guys get richer and richer and richer. And, you know, even though you have the same results, right? Like you don't get the best results. You still see folks in their later years, you know, struggling to retire. So I really appreciate that. If you're in your teens or your 20s, your 30s, it doesn't matter what age you are. It's awesome to just get, you know, just expand your mind, right? Just go ahead and look at other options. So I really appreciate you coming on. And this is another episode of The Naked Truth. Make sure you don't lose your shirt. Time consuming, it can be very scary. It could be like trying to get somewhere without a roadmap. So that's why I created this due diligence list when I buy a property. When I buy an apartment building, even a mobile home park, you can use it for mostly pretty much any commercial property. But this one specifically is for a multifamily. It could be a 6-unit, it could be a 600 unit. You can use it for what you like. So go ahead and sign up, put your name, email. I'll send you the free link to my due diligence. This is what I've used to buy hundreds and hundreds of units, if not thousands of units. So sign up, you get my link. You get an Excel sheet as well. And also we use the software, project management software, monday.com. Feel free to sign up for a free trial. I do have an affiliate link. You don't pay any extra. They just pay me a small fee. Don't have to use it. You have the Excel spreadsheet, but if you use monday.com, it's actually a lot better, a lot smoother, a lot prettier, and you can do a whole bunch of other stuff. There's even a video there I created in the link. So check the link, sign up, and this is my giveaway for you guys. Thank you so much. Take care.
This has been The Naked Truth. Our mission is to give it to you raw. If you got value from this episode, you're invited to leave an honest written review and share this episode with a friend. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.